Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk. Here we are on March 27th, the last Saturday of the month. And so that means next month we'll have some new CPL numbers, too. But it seems to be like the beginning of the gun show season again. Things are opening up a little bit. So let's go through the ones that we have in Michigan. And there's ones all over the country. Let's see, we have got the... And this is verified, the Flint Gun and Knife Show at the Dort Federal Event Center, the J&J Kalkaska Gun and Knife Show, and the Clyde Gun, that's in Kalkaska, of course, and the Clyde Gun Show at the Fraternity Order of the Eagles in Clyde, Ohio. Why do they have that in Michigan? I don't know. Must be on the border. At any rate, let's see. I do want to mention there's a couple of things going on. One is that this is the weekend, and actually... I had gotten an email from a listener last month, and I had said on the 27th that there was a Tipton gun auction, and it was actually March 27th, not February 27th. So in reality, it's today, and they are actually just starting the gun auction now at 11 o'clock. And so if you look it up, it's the there is an auction house that is doing that, and it's in the Tipton, Michigan area, and I don't know if you can do online bidding, and if it'll actually during the course of the, you know, the actual auction, if people are there and, you know, the guys doing the auction bit with the fast talking and stuff, and if they, how they link in online bids, but they have a ton of neat stuff to look at there. And next weekend, and by the way, next weekend is Easter weekend, which my wife pointed out. She goes, oh, because last night we were watching the news, okay? And on the news, they were talking about the Suburban Collection. And, you know, that's the one up in Grand River and Novi, the Suburban Showcase. And that's where they have gun shows and car shows and trade shows and things like that. Well, they have not had a gun show for over a year because a year ago they took the Suburban Collection convention area and turned it into a COVID treating center, okay? Which, by the way, as I recall, never had more than a handful, if any, people treated there, okay? And now they have completely renovated it, so they probably used it as an opportunity to renovate it, and they are bouncing back, reopening to the public on next weekend with the Easter gun show. My wife goes, oh, it's Easter. Come on. Well, you know, you have the time between 12 and 3 on Good Friday that is typically observed, and you have Easter on Sunday. But, you know, that doesn't mean on Saturday you couldn't go to a gun show. So next week there is indeed the Suburban Collection Easter gun show up in Novi. So that's good news that we're starting up again. Of course, unless Big Gretch, our governor, decides to clamp things down. Because I had heard that Michigan is now the number 2 state for new infections and things like that. So only behind New Jersey. So, oh my goodness, that's a good opportunity for her to flex her muscles again. Let's see. We have in Ohio the Shelby County Gun and Knife Show in Sydney, the Smith Gun Show in Smithville, the Wyandotte Gun Show in Upper Sandusky. By the way, I got a kick. I was watching, of all things, I was working out last Sunday, and I'm watching Daniel Boone. What a great show. Of course, you had Mingo and all these folks there that not politically correct whatsoever, because... you know, you have guys in darkened face as Indians, and you have, it's just amazing, okay? But they said, and I get a kick, I never caught this the first time, there were some guys tracking, and Indians were tracking them in the middle of the night, and they go, oh, nobody's better in the woods at night than the Wyandotte. And I would not have known that when I was a kid watching Daniel Boone, what the Wyandotte were. But now that we live here in Michigan and I know about Wyandotte, Michigan, I understand. So very interesting bit of tidbit of useless information there. Let's see. They also have the Cleveland Berea Gun Show in Berea, Ohio. And the Clyde Gun Show, that's the one we mentioned in Michigan. And let's see, they canceled one at Columbus, but they do have the Hilliard Special Ops Gun Show in Hilliard, Ohio, at the Franklin County Fairgrounds. Missouri's got Belleville Gun Show in Belleville, the Old Boys Hunting and Fishing Expo. Now, does that sound like something you want to go to? And it's spelled that O-L apostrophe B-O-Y-Z. Old Boys Hunting and Fishing Expo. That sounds good. That's in Buffalo, Missouri, at the Veranda, in the RK Gun Show in Kansas City. And actually, we have the NEACA, Polish Community Center Gun Show in Albany, New York. So, Mike, that's quite a drive from Long Island, I think, isn't it? But at least you guys are getting back in the game again. Let's see. I have got an email that I got, and it's interesting because I also got a call. This was about a week ago from and I got to apologize to some listeners and email folks that have been sending things to me. I am so upset because I have this new email program that is hosted by Bluehost, who does my my the servers and stuff like that for the podcast and the website. Well, they switched email things on me, and it keeps moving things around, and I can't find them. So I have totally lost an email from a listener who wrote to me about 7mm Remington hand loading and accuracy. And I was getting ready to send back something to him about a week ago, and I couldn't find it. I kept looking for it. So please, if you're the listener that wrote to me about hand loading your 7mm Remington mag and not getting the results that you want, only getting 2 or 3 inch groups at 100 yards, that's too big. So let's write me again and let's talk about it, okay? But I did get one from listener William. And this is the same subject that I got a call from Theron on a week and a half ago or so, because we're all getting ready to, and I already did my new CPL renewal, which came in about a week, so it was amazing. But he was getting ready to do his, and he had been talking to a friend, and the friend had said, "Hey, well, what does this mean? I've got to certify that I, studied for 3 hours and I did an hour at the range. Do I have to sign something? Do I have to?" Well, when you do it online, you are self-certifying. Okay, you're just confirming that you have studied the reviewed 3 hours of. And it says demonstrate. Well, in this case, it just means that you are attesting to it, okay? That you've demonstrated 3 hours of reviewing firearm handling and safety and also demonstrate an hour at the range. Well, most people go to the range every couple of months or so. Some of you don't, but you should, okay? But how do you handle? And this is what the guy asked, listener William asked. And he said, "I looked at several places on the internet, including MCRGO, to find an online study guide or some PDF documents on the subject. But all I could find are people selling CPL study materials for about $20. Is there some well-respected place to find no-cost study guides I can use to refresh my gun safety and handling knowledge?" Okay. Well, first of all, there are some documents from the state that you can go on this, Michigan State Police CPL and firearms site that'll say news or new, and it's actually pretty boring because it's like reading the bills and stuff like that. That could be refreshing yourself, okay? However, I've got a suggestion for you guys, and they are free on YouTube. I'm hoping that everybody, I know if you're listening online somewhere, you're computer savvy, and I know many of you in the terrestrial radio world are also, you know, though you jump online because I get emails from you and stuff like that. Well, go to YouTube, okay, which is kind of a cesspool of activity, okay? But what you want to do is you want to go to, type in the search line, first person defender, okay, and hit enter. And what it'll bring up, this is actually a series of videos that is made by a group called the VATA group, V-A-T-A, and they are actually by the son of another radio talk show host named Tom Gresham, who does a good show called Gun Talk. And he's actually been on for 27 years, okay? Now, I've only been on 10 years. I'll never catch up to him unless he stops broadcasting at some point. But the point is that he's been on for 27 years, and he's branched out into videos and podcasts and all sorts of stuff like that. But they do this first-person defender series that is free. Okay, and what they are scenarios that they essentially take training vignettes or scenarios that they set up, and I'll read some of them to you. But they take them and they utilize people that are very, they're like instructors from the SIG Academy or from, Thunder Ranch or some of the other places like that, Gunsight, also from the VATA group that is a training facility that they own down in Louisiana. And they set up these scenarios and then they actually put real people into them. Now, they do them with, they wear safety equipment and stuff like that, including like helmets with visors and you've got chest plates on and stuff like that, because they actually use something called simmunition. And it is a fake ammunition that actually fires a little plastic projectile that is not a lethal projectile. But you know that when you get hit by it. But the thing is that they set this up, and let me read some of them to you. They have one called a trailer they have season 1 through season 8. They've been doing them since 2013, and they have like 14 videos per season. They're all about 15 minutes long, okay? And they set up a scenario let me read some of them to you, and then we'll talk about it further. Let's see. Like, woman stops at a gas station, and it's a robbery attempt. A road rage shooting. Two intruders killed in home invasion. Man confronts carjacker and saves wife. There's a trailer. Man fights off an ATM robbery. Man surprises car thief. Conceal carry holder survives a workplace shooting. Woman thwarts parking lot abduction. Gun owner stops restaurant shooting. Husband saves wife from gun-wielding burglar. And man fights off a mugger. Now, that's all of the first season ones, okay? And those, think about what I just read. Those are all situations exactly why you carry a firearm, okay? Because you might be at the ATM and somebody tries to rob you. You might be at a restaurant and somebody walks in and starts shooting. All these scenarios are ones that you can practice for. And I want to say they do the scenario, and people, a lot of times, even guys that are very, very trained, they step into the scenario and they're videotaping it all, because sometimes, of course, the outcome is not what you want. Okay. Like, for example, with the ATM one, you might have the guy comes and he shows a gun in his belt, and then the guy, the victim at the ATM, tries to pull his own gun, and the perpetrator he actually takes away the gun from the guy. I mean, these are things that could happen, so you need to think about that. Okay, so I want to say to listener William, take a look at First Person Defender. And also to Theron, to your friend, To other people like that, that is the exact kind of thing that they're talking about. If you watch 12 of those 15-minute videos, there's your 3 hours of studying on firearm safety and gun handling, okay? Now, the other thing you can do, and this is one that a book, I actually have it with me all the time because it's in my Kindle on my phone, okay? But there is a gun writer, that is famous, okay? And many of you will recognize the name. His name is Massad Ayoub, okay? And he is, since like the mid-70s, he has been one of the foremost gun instructors and trainers, and he actually does a lot of defense work for people who are in a defensive shoot and they need a defensive witness to be able to counter some claim that the prosecuting attorney is saying, well, like the guy was only 15, he was 15 feet away. He didn't need to shoot him. Well, Massad Ayoub will talk about different things like the Tooler drill and how quickly somebody can cover that ground with a knife, or if he's 15 feet away and you could shoot him, he could just as easily have shot you, right? I mean, 15 feet is nothing, right? So at any rate, Massad Ayoub has a book that I bought back in 14. He released it November 21st, 2014. It's called Deadly Force, Understanding Your Right to Self-Defense. Okay. Now, I got it as a Kindle for $11. Now, that's not free, William, I know, but it's a kind of thing that you could read and reread and, study and refresh yourself. Okay. This was written 7 years ago. It's just as relevant today as it was back then. Okay. And so, or you can get the paperback version for like $19. Okay. But the point is that there are resources out there that you can use. Now, there's also a lot of other things on the internet that may or may not be so good. So I would judge them carefully, okay? Because there are a lot of people out there. I mean, I've watched some videos and I'm going, what is this guy doing? Or I watch his gun safety and he's sweeping the other people with his muzzle and stuff. Just because somebody thinks that they're well-trained and stuff like that doesn't mean that they're a good instructor or that they actually are well-trained. So those are the kind of things that you need to weigh. But I can tell you absolutely you can trust First Person Defender series and you can trust anything written by Massad Ayoub. And it's MassadAyoub, okay? Massad Ayoub. So at any rate, let's see. I was going to say, as I'm going through here, there's some interesting things this week since our last broadcast last weekend. Of course, we had the Boulder, Colorado gunman, and he used an AR-15. Oh my gosh, how convenient is this that this all comes up right at the time when before that, the other shooter too in Atlanta. All of this happened just as they're talking about gun control, but the Boulder gunman passed a background check. Okay, he bought his gun at a retail outlet, not a gun show with a FFL or anything like that, at a retail outlet, and he passed a background check, which is exactly what the Democrats are saying. Well, that'll solve all our problems. We got to have universal background checks. Okay. Oh well, but you know, it was less than a week then that he bought it before. We need waiting periods. Well, wait a minute. 6 days. He bought it 6 days before. Now, of course, here's the wild card. Okay, when people say, oh well, his family said he had mental illness. Oh, yeah. He talked about, even when he was in high school, he talked about killing everybody and stuff. Well, what in the heck is going on there? Okay, if there's mental illness, if there's things going on like that, then you need to, you know, and I got to say, you don't need a new red flag log to be able to fix this because there's already books on laws on the books where you can call and tell somebody. We've got... Joe from Tecumseh on the phone with a comment about refreshing your probably your requirements for a CPL. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Dick. How's everything going with you today?
It's going well. What's new?
Hey, I emailed you beginning of February about my renewal, and I talked with a gentleman who does CPL courses at my club, and he said there's new stuff in there that he wasn't sure of, and so as a consequent, next Sunday, the Sunday after Easter, I'm going to be sitting in on the three-hour refresher course for a little money expenditure, but definitely gives me up to speed.
That is a good idea, especially if you have it, because there are things, you know, when you hear about, the legislature's talking about this law and that law and carrying guns at the Capitol and what they did in about, you know, potentially for schools that have determined that they don't want to have any firearms there. All of that stuff has probably happened since the last time you renewed, right?
Correct.
And so it's mostly, I want to say, the most of the stuff that has to do with your actual gun safety or your ability to defend yourself likely hasn't changed, but the legalese around it has. And so that's not a bad idea at all. And especially, you know, sometimes people, how long you been carrying, Joe?
Prior to the 2000 revision, let's leave it at that.
Okay. So you've been at least 20 years, okay? And some people have been carrying for 40 years or something like that. And the thing is that if they were fortunate enough to get a permit when they had a May issue permit, which you obviously were because they didn't change that till like 2004, I think. But they haven't had any training since that period of time. So it is a good idea. I've had people that have been involved in refresher courses. I have taught some refresher courses for church groups and things like that, that I go right through everything that we teach them the first time. We did it an actual whole 8-hour, like 6-hour course, because we didn't do any range time. But is this just a classroom experience for you coming up, Joe?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's a good idea because, you know, there are things that are new in the law, things that are, I got to say, one of the things that can change, now I know you pay attention to these things, but there's a lot of people who don't stay on top of what the latest in ammunition is and things like that. So I am sure that'll be part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, have a good day. Well, and Eric's got something at the desk at the end of the show for you also.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, too, you're out in Tecumseh. You're not far from Tipton, where that gun auction is, right?
Yeah, and I'm in my usual situation.
Okay.
Moths are hungry in the
wallet. Okay, very good. I'll see you later, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, hey, another thing.
Yep.
I went to a gun auction a couple of years ago, and the auctioneer is looking at me, and I go to 175, and all of a sudden it's up at 250 for a Savage 311 20 gauge. The guy behind me was using me as a smoke screen.
Really?
He was up and everything.
Oh, holy cow. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I want to say, I can remember going to auctions, farm auctions as a kid, and there's a whole, you know, I want to say understanding and protocol for those. You know, you flip your finger, you scratch your ear, you do something like that, and you may just have bought something. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
All very right. Good.
Good day.
Thanks for listening, Joe. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So at any rate, I think that the renewal thing is big on people's minds, and especially since You know, it used to be that you had to go back into the clerk's office, you had to pay your money, you had to fill out a form, you had to check a box that you did things and stuff. Now you're doing it online. And so people are concerned that, am I doing it right? What are my obligations here? We'll talk more about that later. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And we have a phone call from Tom from Northfield Township, our resident ballistic expert. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm fine. I just got my copy this week of the new American Rifleman for April.
Okay.
And I was going through reading it. I was reading about the new Ruger, you know, mini 9mm gun they've got.
The Max 9, yeah.
Yeah, I figured you'd be interested in that. But when I got done and I flipped the cover over, I see that Winchester has come out with a new line of personal defense ammunition that they call the USA Ready Defense. It is it's a nickel-plated round, both the bullet and the case, and they have it in 9mm, Luger Plus P, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 Auto, you know, so far.
Yeah.
And it has a red initiator, plastic initiator in there, with slots that they say, and I'll read from this, shields hollow points from obstruction while channeling material flow for positive bullet expansion.
How about that? Huh?
And this thing really looks neat.
Well, that's it. You know what? I got the new American Rifleman, and I was reading about the Max 9, but I haven't flipped it over and looked at the back yet. I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah. It's concaved, where, you know, it's rounded, and which would mean it would kind of push out when it hits something,
right?
And
right.
It looks interesting. Now, I went on the website to look up, you know, see if they had some facts and figures on it, and the 45, I believe, is a 200 grain, and that shoots at 1,000 feet per second, and it's got like 444 foot pounds of energy. And I looked up the 9mm. I believe that shoots at like 1,200. I think it's 115 grain. And I think that had 396 foot-pounds of energy at the muzzle. I didn't look up the 40 because your show was starting, and I shut everything down. But obviously these things aren't in the store yet. And I still have to look.
And if they are, they're off the shelf already because everything is going so fast, right?
Yeah, I'm going to check online and see if any of the, you know, the major, you know, stores online have them. But I also know that Winchester, I saw that they also came out with some new silver tip ammunition for different calibers. And so it looks like I'm going to be busy this summer.
You know, I think so. And with everybody getting vaccinated and things opening back up again, we ought to be able to get together and do some bullet testing. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping provided I can get the ammunition, because the stores that I can drive to, they got nothing.
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is, well, take a look at ammobuy.com again. Maybe you'll find, a one-box supply or something. You only use two or three, you know, for your testing. But but the thing, too, is that you can continue to use it for, you know, your backup self-defense gun, and you should periodically shoot your ammo anyway, right? You know, I mean, it's fine for if you've got 10-year-old self-defense ammo. It's probably still absolutely fine, but its technology has been changing. And so, like, if you got some of those original Spear gold dots, shoot them up and go get some. Well, not until you get the new stuff first, right?
I usually like to shoot that ammunition up. I don't like to keep it over about 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then shoot it up. You know, the one thing I noticed about the cartridges nowadays, if you remember in the old days, you'd shoot a cartridge, and they had, you know, aromatic powders in there, and they had a good smell. The powders they're using now that are the smokeless and flashless powders, they got a nasty smell and taste in your mouth if you get a sniff of them while you're firing.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was going to talk about that, although I don't think I'm going to get to it today. I had a story I've been sitting on about Barnall Russian ammunition. And I do always laugh because, you know, and by the way, the Russian ammunition, just to touch on that, is actually good practice ammunition and stuff like that. It's usually steel cased. It's either lacquer finished or polymer finished or something, and that can actually lead to functional issues. But when you're at the range, you can tell somebody shooting Russian ammo because it stinks. You know what I mean? I don't know what their powder is that they use, but it stinks. So, yep. So I do think that I have noticed different powder. Actually, I've noticed it in some big name powders that I think they're getting some imported powders and stuff because they're probably having just as much problem as other people getting powders. I'll have to look in. I'm going to put that down. Smelly ammunition. See what I can find about it. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Well, Tom, thanks for calling. I'm glad that. I'm glad that you have weathered the pandemic and you're itching. You got an itchy trigger finger to get out there and do some more testing.
Oh yeah, well I've been listening every week, but they're either you've been on a roll on things and I just been listening to the show, or I didn't really have anything to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, pretty soon we will. And I wanted to do some revolver ammo. I'd like to do some 44 special, some 38 special, some things like that. So I'll have to get what I want to get and we'll give it a try. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. We'll see you later. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. Bye.
Yep. Bye bye. Ah, gosh. Tom from Northfield Township. He's been a longtime listener. I never knew him when we worked at Ford at the same time, but he was in the test labs, and so he has a love of testing, and he knows about keeping things variables the same and stuff like that. So it's just really really fun to work with him on that. I was talking about that Boulder shooter and the whole thing with the background checks. And, you know, it's interesting that they keep talking about, oh, we need background checks. We need background checks. That'll put a stop to the gun violence. Well, in reality, and I'm going to list these. This is going to be boring. I'm not going to go through the dates of all of them, but they start with the most recent, the Boulder, Colorado attack, and then Atlanta that we just had. And then it goes all the way down through a list of, now this sounds like a lot, there's actually 25 probably, but remember these are, this is 14 years worth of various shootings. And remember, we're a nation of 360 million people, and you're going to have some bad people, and there are always going to be idiots. And when you look at it, some of them are related to mental health. Some of them are drug related. Some of them are religious related. So listen here. Of course, we start out with the Boulder, Colorado, the Atlanta area attack, Parkland High School, Texas Church attacker, Las Vegas attacker, Alexandria attacker, Orlando attacker. Now, by the way, those are some of the most recent ones. And actually, the Orlando one, they never talk about it, but that actually has a gay homosexual anti hate crime kind of they're all hate crimes when they're shooting people, but this, they all have different motives, okay? Some of them, we don't know the motives, but others you do, like the Orlando attacker. UCLA gunman, San Bernardino, Colorado Springs, Umpqua Community College, Allison Parker, Lafayette Movie Theater, Chattanooga attacker, Muhammad Cartoon Contest attacker, Las Vegas cop killer, Santa Barbara attacker, Fort Hood, remember Fort Hood, Arapahoe High School, D.C. Naval Yard attacker, Aurora Movie Theater, Gabby Giffords attacker, who she is so anti-gun now, it's out, and her husband, who, by the way, is a retired astronaut, if you didn't know that, Mark Kelly, he is very anti-gun, all pushing for the Fort Hood attacker. Let's see what else we got. The Northern Illinois University and Virginia Tech attacker. All of those. What do they have in common? Every single one of them passed a background check. Okay? So when they talk about the big issues going on out there, there's other things going on. Society's changed. People have mental illness. There's religious freedom and religious persecution type of issues going on. But they all passed a background check. So when they're talking about universal background checks, you're not going to see any difference or improvements in it. But it's a good first start, they say, right? Tom from Detroit's on and wants to talk about 9mm ammo. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Now you got me wanting to talk about something else. But first, real quick, let me talk about my new favorite. 9mm self-defense ammunition, and it's going to be a hand load, and it's the 124 grain XTP Hornady, and underneath it I put 7.3 grains of number 7, gives me 1,117 feet per second average out of about a 4.5-inch barrel, and I shot one into the jugs of water, and I weighed it, and it was 123 grains.
100% retention,
it expanded to a 540 thousandths. And I shot some at the range, and it's real accurate at 25 yards, and, it's doesn't break the bank. So,
you know, I'm going to absolutely agree with you. When we did the 9mm testing, there was some hand loads that I had Tom included with the testing, and they were Hornady XTPs. That is an outstanding accurate round. I just loaded up about 700 rounds of XTPs in 9mm. I totally agree with you. Although I used 6.7 grains of power pistol, but about the same thing, probably.
Yeah, I like the accurate. I got their loading manual online, and it's the best. They have a lot of different bullets, and they do it. They even have some data for the 5.56 by 45 with yep. some of the military surplus type, like the 62 grain SS-109s and things like that.
Yeah, I want to say most of us are stuck with whatever we happen to have, though. Did you go buy this new accurate ammo or powder, or did you have it in stock already?
I had it. I've been using it, and I don't have a lot left. I've been looking all over for some more, but...
I used accurate 4350 in some 7mm Remington mags, and it was outstanding. So I want to say all the powders are, they all have little, there's a little bit of variance in burn rate, and they have different construction and things like that, which make it either easier to meter or feed. You really can't go wrong if you go with one of the published one of the published recipes for it. Matter of fact, when I what I did with that 7mm Remington mag is I could only find a pound of accurate 4350, and I had some Hornady ELD X's, which are the newer extra low drag expanding bullets for hunting, but I couldn't find a recipe for it. So I actually wrote to Hornady and said, this is what I want. This is what I have, or this, you know, what do I want to use? And they sent me back a recipe. They gave me a range, and then I played with it until I found exactly what I wanted in that range. So you kind of have to work with what you got, don't you?
Oh yeah, you know, I've got plenty of the accurate number five, and I you know, that's good for practice. You know, I mean, the seven's a little bit slower, and we get almost a full case, you know, without compressing it with the number seven. But yeah, you know, the accurate manual, they have data for some of the plated bullets and things like that. So you can cook up some nice practice rounds without a whole lot of guesswork.
This is part of the fun of this hobby, isn't it?
I mean, it's, you know, and if you like to go out and shoot, the cost of ammo nowadays is you know, it's.
Yeah.
Wish I would have bought that a couple extra boxes of primers and stuff like that back when Mr. Trump had them cheap.
Well, you know, the thing is that I always still look at it like I loaded up a bunch of 9mm and I was looking at it and I looked at the prices on the boxes. Okay. You know, not the price of what it would cost today. Okay, like a box of 1,000 primers can be extremely expensive today, okay, if you can even find it. But I bought it when it was pretty cheap. So I'm still loading a box of 9mm for about $7. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can't complain about that.
Yep.
And, you know, or just you were talking about some of the stuff earlier about some of the shootings, and you know, I was listening. I couldn't help it. I've got a book on legal maxims. You know, maxims being defined as Black's Law Dictionary, an established principle of proposition, a principle of law universally admitted as being correct statement of the law, or as agreeable to reason. And I'm thinking about, you know, these shootings where, you know, when, you know, 10 or 11 people get shot, I mean, that's a tragedy if you're, you know, if your family or something like that. But, you know, when you look at the amount of bloodshed in this world we're living in, it's really not that big a deal. And this one maxim I'm looking at, it says, laws ought to be made with a view to those cases which happen most frequently and not to those which are of rare or accidental occurrence. And, you know, I mean, to me, it just seems so obvious that this federal government is just trying to take over, micromanage everything, and with this emotional kind of, you know, this media response where we have these reporters that, you know, they breathlessly report these deaths and, you know, show a picture of the gun and...
And they are there talking to the people outside of the house where it happened or something minutes after it happened. They're still in the middle of shock and awe and grief and stuff like that. And they don't even know what's going on yet. But that's journalism today, or what passes for journalism, right, Tom?
Yeah, and another one, just a real quick, a maxim that, you know, kind of reminds me of Joe Biden, always comes to mind if I try to watch him, is once a fraud, always a fraud.
Oh, very good. Well, Tom, thank you for the call today. As always, I appreciate your input, and it is very appropriate today. Talk to you later then.
Thanks.
That reminds me, Theron on his Facebook page put up a meme this week that said, I'm paraphrasing it, but it won't be exactly perfect. But at any rate, it had two guys with a mask, and the guy said, the first guy goes, you know, we should get rid of all the guns because it'll stop gun violence. And the guy said, well, do you get rid of the all the sober drivers to stop drunk driving? And he goes, He asked him, now, pardon me, did you cut your, I'll use something, let's see, what I'll use a different word. Did you cut your, should you, all the males, cut off their, let's say, ding-a-lings to prevent rapists, okay? Well, no. Okay, maybe they should cut off a rapist ding-a-ling, okay, but, and that is a technical term, but at any rate, that's not the term that was on the meme that Theron put up, but the point is that they want to take the guns away from everybody, all the law-abiding citizens, because somebody did something stupid. Okay, and by the way, he passed a background check. And by the way, the Boulder, Colorado guy was on the screens of the FBI because the guy knew and associated with a known guy who was an ISIS sympathizer, and he wrote about it. Okay, so the guy was on the screen. Okay, well, how come if we are really trying to prevent things, why are there not red flags for those guys, not red flags, but a thing in the background check that says this guy associates with terrorists, he should be denied a gun, okay? Now, maybe they've got an idea like, okay, if we have if we deny him, then he'll know we're watching him or something like that. I don't care, okay? If he's on the FBI screen, why are you selling the guy a gun? Okay, so at any rate, that's. I just want to say the whole. By the way, my next story. We're running out of time here this week, but gun control groups are appalled by Biden's inaction. Well, they expected all the guns to be turned in by now. They expected there to be, you know, he's been in office for 4 months here or 3 months. He should be having gun confiscations already. They're appalled by his lack of action. So very interesting. Let's see. By the way, the father of the fallen Boulder, Colorado officer said that the officer was a staunch Second Amendment supporter, and he would be appalled if he knew that the media was using his death as a reason to try to take guns away from people. Very interesting. Yep. And that's true of 90% of law enforcement, that they are definitely going, they are in favor of and supporting of concealed carry people and people that they know will help come to their aid if they need them. So let's see. This is interesting. We're going to run out of time, but three best ways to reduce felt recoil for new shooters. That's interesting. What do you think about that? Well, the first thing was shoot a lighter projectile. And I was thinking, now we're not going to be able to get into all this. I've got 34 pages of show prep, and I'm on page 13, okay? But shooting a lighter projectile is just example of physics, okay? Newton's third law in action. If you shoot a heavier projectile, like a 175-grain bullet, it takes more pressure and it creates more recoil against your shoulder to accelerate that heavier projectile down the barrel. So one of the tricks for a long time is that people will use a lighter projectile. Instead of shooting a 175-grain bullet or a 162-grain bullet in your rifle, shoot a 120-grain bullet or a 140-grain bullet, and it will greatly reduce the amount of recoil you have. That includes the same thing for handguns, okay? If you're shooting a 45 that's got a 180-grain frangible round in it, it's going to be a lot less felt recoil than something that's got a 230-grain bullet. So I'm just touching on this, something to think about. Let's think about it for next week. I'll look up smelly ammunition. And I have got 20 more pages of stuff to go through for next week, plus whatever happens between now and next Saturday. So I do want to say that don't get discouraged. We got people fighting for us out there. And the people who are fighting for us are pointing out some of the fallacies and things like the universal background checks and the proposed gun bans and how they did not work last time around. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. Have a nice week, and I'll see you next week.